and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the City Council, on this week's show celebrating 35 years of Crime Stoppers in Columbus. The Columbus Marathon steps off this weekend, and Body World and the Brain at COSI. We begin with Poindexter Tower coming down. The 10-story eyesore on the Near East Side has been blighted and vacant for several years. Councilmember Zach M. Klein, chair of the Development Committee, joined Mayor Michael B. Coleman, Franklin County Treasurer Ed Leonard, and Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine, and other neighborhood leaders as the demolition started of the 101 condominium units in the 1200 block of Mount Vernon Avenue. Here's Councilmember Klein.
I certainly want to thank the mayor and the partnership that we have with the Near East Side. With the Attorney General DeWine, with County Treasurer Leonard, who has taken many steps to make the county land bank happen, and the collaboration that we're working with the county and the state to tear down this building that once was an icon of housing for this part of town, and the irony is, by tearing it down, it's going and putting it back into productive use. This land, in conjunction with what PAC is doing over to my left here, is going to be the rebirth of this part of Columbus. And that's what happens when you can tear down buildings. It's not bad that things are being torn down, because then you get to rebuild. It gets to be a rebirth, and that's exactly the focus of me and development on the economic development side, jobs, but also on the housing side, of using the resources from our settlement and using city resources to invest in neighborhoods. And sometimes it means building new housing stock, but by building new housing stock, it means tearing down what's there, because strong and safe neighborhoods are the cornerstone of our community, and the City Council is focused on strong and safe neighborhoods and doing what we can to rebuild the neighborhoods that need help. And this is really the step in the direction that we're going to be taking. So I applaud the partnership with the Attorney General's office, applaud the partnership with the Mayor's office, our private partners to make this happen, because this is the important step in the right direction. Thank you so much.
That was Councilmember Klein. The 101 units were acquired through a joint effort between the City of Columbus and Treasurer Leonard. The order to demolish was granted late last year by the Environmental Section of the Franklin County Municipal Court. According to Mayor Coleman, the total cost of the demolition and asbestos abatement is about $1 million.
You know, it is becoming a better place, because there's a lot going on in this neighborhood. Thanks to the Columbus Pact and all the partnership between the Ohio State University, the City of Columbus, CMHA, and all the work we're doing in the area, great partners, like the Noble Long Condominium Unit is now selling. We have 12 new energy efficient, accessible single family homes nearby. We have the Affordable Housing Trust of Columbus and Franklin County's new office building right down the street on Long Street, and 10 new affordable units on the upper floors of that building. And things are coming around. Columbus Metropolitan Housing Authority acquired the Whitney development, and we have 28 market rate rentals soon to be available. Things are happening. But there's this one giant eyesore standing in the middle of all this progress that is developing in the City of Columbus, right here in this neighborhood. A blight, a tooth-decayed building. This Poindexter Tower, I pass by often, and I look at it and I say, it's got to come down, because it's a symbol of where we've been, not of where we're going. But it is also a bitter reminder of the work yet to be done in this neighborhood. We got a lot to do. Its tearing down, however, represents the blight that must be erased to achieve the progress we must strive to reach in this neighborhood. And it's coming down today. I've been waiting a long time to see it coming down, and it's coming down today. This is a monument to misery in this community. And we're turning this misery into hope and the seeds of change, and we're going to improve the quality of life in this neighborhood. So help me God. We've traveled a long way to get here, and we have a lot of partners that have worked together with us. Director Boy Safford, sometimes called Stafford, standing behind me, has done a great job in helping to make this happen. City Attorney Rick Pfeiffer and Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien helped gain control of the building. We're thankful of them. And then the Franklin County Treasurer, Ed Leonard. He came up, he did what had to get done. And my God, it was slower than molasses getting those mortgages. But it happened because there were so many mortgages here that had to be addressed. And I understand that. And going through it, it's a difficult legal maneuvering that needed to take place before we could swing the wrecker ball to take this thing down.
That was Mayor Coleman. The city is demolishing the structure and will be reimbursed for half of the cost through a federal mortgage settlement fund from the Franklin County Treasurer and the Ohio Attorney General. Here's Mike DeWine.
It is always good to work with the mayor. The mayor and I worked together when I was in the United States Senate, as he indicated. And Mayor, we look forward to continuing to work with you, not just today, but in the future. I might tell you a little bit about how I got involved in this. If you all remember the robo settlement or the robo scandal that was occurring, and this came out of the mortgage crisis that we had, and it turned out that some of the servicers were doing things that they should not have done. And all the attorney generals went together in the country, and we worked out a settlement with them. And that settlement's going to bring about over $300 million back to Ohio. Not tax dollars, but money from these people and these companies that did bad things. About $200 million of that is going to go back to homeowners, people who have lost their homes because of the mortgage crisis. But about $93 million of that went to my office to be given out to help indirectly deal with this crisis. And I made the decision, and I think I'm the only attorney general in the country that decided to do this, to put the great bulk of that money into helping some victims that some people I think sometimes forget about. I've walked through neighborhoods in this state, in every major city, and some of the real victims of the mortgage crisis are those individuals, those families that remain in the neighborhood. They pay their mortgage, they pay their rent, they do what they should do, they hang in there, but yet next door to them is some house that's falling down, that's turned into a crack house, or it's just totally falling down, and it's not only an eyesore in the neighborhood, but it's a threat to the kids who are trying to play, and the property values of these victims. Who have played by the rules and done the right thing, their property value is going down because they live next to a house that is falling down. And so what we decided to do is to take $75 million of this and to spread it around the state. Mayor, you're going to get, and total in Franklin County is going to be over $8 million from that settlement. So you can knock a lot of houses down and do a lot of things with the $8 million. And the mayor and the community and the county have put in another $7.5 million. So we're really pushing almost $16 million that we've been able to leverage that will be used to make our neighborhoods safer and better. And I think what the mayor was talking about is absolutely the key. This is about neighborhoods. This is about restoring neighborhoods. This is about restoring our communities and making it a better place for our families to live. So, Mayor, thank you for your partnership. It is always good to work with you, and we look forward to working with you more in the future.
And finally, County Treasurer Leonard.
But you might wonder, why is the Franklin County Treasurer
at an event celebrating the demolition of an abandoned apartment building. And to understand that, you kind of have to go back to what the property was before it deteriorated to the point that we find it today. There was actually one last redevelopment effort that took place, and it was a failed redevelopment effort, but that previous effort in 1996 resulted in the apartments in this building being converted to 101 separately owned condominium units. The 101 units, 32 of them never got sold. For us to be able to even take possession and begin demolition, we had to bring the ownership of all these condo units had to be deeded to the county. And that legal complication took years to unwind. And we worked with prosecuting attorney Ron O'Brien. We set about the tedious, time-consuming task of identifying, contacting the owners when possible, and then filing tax foreclosure lawsuits whenever necessary. And those owners we could reach, we asked them to contribute their ownership into that redevelopment effort. And those we couldn't reach, or those who had died since they had vacated the property, those properties had to be taken through the long legal process to resolve the ownership issues. And again, I want to recognize prosecuting attorney Ron O'Brien and his folks who shouldered that task and helped perform it with great diligence. You know, our effort would not have succeeded without the support of the Franklin County Board of Commissioners. The success of gaining control over all the units also could not have been accomplished without the hard work of Joel Tieford, who's the executive director of the Central Ohio Community Improvement Corporation. He deserves a round of applause. I also want to recognize Linda Craig and Stephen Port from my office, who really spearheaded it from our standpoint. They did a great job for us. And I didn't want to let their efforts go unnoticed, and without my sincere thanks. As we got to the end of the litigation of all these ownership issues, we began engaging Columbus officials in anticipation of the ultimate demolition of this building. And City Attorney Rick Pfeiffer and his staff shepherded the environmental case and secured the order of demolition that brings us here today. So I want to extend my thanks to City Attorney Rick Pfeiffer. My thanks also goes to Columbus City Council and Councilman Zach Klein for their support of this effort throughout the process. And obviously, special thanks and recognition goes to Mayor Coleman, Development Director Safford, and his team. They played an instrumental role throughout this process, and they most especially coordinated in funding the actual demolition of this work. But I also want to thank Attorney General Mike DeWine for the vision that he's demonstrated in the Moving Ohio Forward grant program that's also provided some of the funding. And as he mentioned, $8.2 million in funding, and that part of that part of those funds are going to the demolition of this structure. And it'll provide for demolition funds for many neighborhoods throughout Columbus and Central Ohio. And the great thing about it is the commitment of those monies to the demolition of residential properties is going to free our county land bank up to use some of its resources to renovate. Because we don't want to be just the Franklin County Demolition Corporation. We want to be the Franklin County Revitalization Corporation. And that's part of what we're doing today is revitalization. And I wanted to turn for a moment to the failed condo conversion effort that I mentioned earlier that occurred in late 1990s. That effort sought to provide affordable housing for senior citizens in our community. The seniors who lived here had hoped to call this place their home for the rest of their days. And unfortunately, that hope vanished when this building became functionally and financially obsolete. It became a safety hazard, a concrete remnant of another time, and a crime hazard. So those seniors lost so much when the building had to be vacated. And I didn't want their loss to be forgotten today, because it's from their loss that real hope for a brighter future takes place in this space. It's really with great pride that I stand here today. I knew when I began to undertake the effort to get all these condominiums, the 101 condo units consolidated under county ownership, whether it was demolition or whether it was renovation, whatever became of this property was going to be an improvement for this community. So I'm always going to look back on the removal of this eyesore, the removal of this scar on the landscape of this neighborhood, as one of my proudest accomplishments as Franklin County Treasurer. So I'm proud because I know the impact that removing this eyesore is going to have in this community. The effort is a testament to what can be accomplished when leaders from all levels of government, all parts of our community, come together to make a positive impact in the community. And it's been a long struggle to get to this day, but the day is here. When this building is gone, this space is going to be ready for a vibrant rebirth. The future for this space holds great promise. It holds great opportunity. Whatever bright future awaits, it's only possible because of the hard work, dedication, and vision of so many that are here with us today. And my sincerest thanks to all of you.
One of the most important law enforcement tools in Columbus turns 35 this year. Crime Stoppers is the program that allows residents to anonymously call in tips to police. And if the tips lead to an arrest, there's reward money for the tipster. To help celebrate this milestone, Central Ohio Crime Stoppers invited K. Scott Abrams, chair of the Crime Stoppers USA, to Columbus to help celebrate. What makes Crime Stoppers the program that it is, allowing it to have the success that it does, not only in the Columbus community, but across the United States?
Well, in working through all the programs in the United States, it is the citizenry that brings it out. It's a citizen board. It's governed and operated by citizens working with law enforcement and the media. And it's the citizens that make it work. So it's those people that sit around the table of board decisions that are made that help the programs go forward.
Citizens have to have faith, not only in the police officers, but in the program that it will work. And sometimes within the community where the crime is being committed, that's not there. That baseline isn't there.
No, the baseline's not there. And that's what Crime Stoppers offers, because they may not trust a law enforcement official, but they'll trust Crime Stoppers because it's anonymous. And we don't breach that confidentiality. So when they give us a tip, it can't be released. It can't be put into the court system. It's held confidential with Crime Stoppers, and that's what allows people to call us, provide that tip, and then we can provide that to law enforcement.
Today, you honored officers, but you also honored members of the business community. Absolutely key to the success of Crime Stoppers, and it is what got you involved many years ago back in Illinois.
Sure. All businesses want to provide a community awareness and impact within their communities, and they implore their employees to go out and help those community efforts. The one way they can do that is through donations, but the other is just offering their employees time and effort and commitment to providing help to Crime Stoppers and other community organizations.
Crime Stoppers has evolved over the many decades. You talked about TV reenactments. Nowadays, there's surveillance footage. Certainly, the use of DNA and other forensic sciences has increased the ability for officers to catch the bad guy. Where do you see Crime Stoppers going in the next 35 years?
Well, we're taking advantage of the social media. Reenactments are somewhat older technology that we still use in some markets, but now YouTube has really proliferated the use of Crime Stoppers, and anybody can go out there and do some searches of Crime Stopper programs. They're doing their reenactments right over YouTube, or they're having conversations with their citizenry right through that medium. And Facebook and those types of social media markets are going to become more prevalent going into the future.
Issue 56 for Columbus voters is the Senior Options Levy. City Council members passed a resolution in support of Issue 56. Senior Options helps to improve the quality of life for older residents by allowing them to stay in their homes longer, bringing them food and medical care, and eliminating the need to move to a long-term residential care facility, saving the senior and the entire community money. To begin the discussion is Cindy Farson from the Central Ohio Area Agency on Aging.
This has been a city-county partnership for over 20 years, and we appreciate your resolution and endorsement today and the ongoing support of City Council. We're expecting a huge increase in the older adult population, and this levy serves over 7,000 seniors. We hope to continue to serve them and try and keep up with the increase in seniors. Just takes a little bit of service sometimes for an individual or family to keep someone at home, and that's what the goal of this levy is. We would like Columbus to be a lifelong community, and having access to services is really basic to that goal, so we thank you.
Tony Carroll with the Franklin County Office on Aging. We were very pleased with the 2010 census data, which indicate that Franklin County is doing the best of any county in the state at keeping older people at home. The statewide average of folks needing institutional care is 4.1%, and here in Franklin County it's 3.2%. And I believe it's because we have a strong passport program through the city and through the strong levy program through the county. And again, this has been a long city-county partnership that I think we can all be very proud of. And we I want to remind everyone that we are the last thing on your ballot. Everybody's ballot, if it's a two-page, three-page, or a four-page ballot, we're going to be the last thing. So don't run out of steam before you get to issue 56.
Thank you, members of council. I just wanted to tell you that as co-chairman of this levy, I hope you all support 56 and vote for it. It's very, very important. As I've been working in the senior community for 4 years now with Cindy, with Central High Area and Aging and Franklin County Area and Aging, I noted how much they do, and it's so necessary. So thank you very much for your support.
And that last voice was Fran Ryan, one-time city council member and longtime Columbus resident, who is helping to stress the importance of Issue 56 for our older residents. The human body is an amazing bit of engineering. Muscles, blood vessels, bones, and organs all coming together to give us life. But how does it all fit inside our skin, and what does it look like when we peel back our protective coating to expose the marvel we all have inside us? From now through early next year, COSAI is hosting Body Worlds and the Brain, the exhibition. COSAI CEO David Chesbrough walked me through the exhibit to help me understand the science and the education behind Body Worlds and the Brain. Talk about the new exhibit. What can people expect to see here at COSAI?
Well, this is a unique opportunity for this community to have an exhibition of its quality, Body Worlds in the Brain, to really, in an awe-inspiring, deeply reflective way, understand their bodies, the brain, and the connection to their lives and the choices they make in a way that you've never seen here in Columbus before.
I think people have seen bodies exhibits coming and going, you know, in strip malls kind of thing. How will this be different?
Well, first of all, this is the only exhibition company that the Science Center Field works with. And we've worked in partnership with them for a number of years to make sure that it's the educational value that is at the heart and soul of everything we do. They're a high-quality company. They originated the whole plastination process, originally as a medical education device, and then found out that they can actually inspire the public for wellness. And so this truly is integrated into our health and medicine strategic area of focus, in with our partners, Ohio Health and their neurological department, and will be facilitated with many different learning experiences that branch off of it.
How do you help people get over the initial shock of looking at themselves in a way that they maybe have never thought about looking at themselves?
It definitely is the type of exhibition that makes you pause when you walk in. One is the design of the exhibition slowly moves you into the ability to look at an entire body. So you start off being introduced to the thought about the specialness of your body and being introduced to body elements that help you understand that you can really, for the first time ever, understand what the insides of your body looks like. And then in my mind, one of the most important things is that it's all presented in a way of reverence. And so the way in which the bodies are presented in a setting, I've seen this probably 9 to 10 times in different centers. And I have found that no matter how energetic everyone is out in the hallways, once they step into that gallery, all of a sudden everything slows down. And again, it's us, it's our bodies. And the reverence that comes out of that when it's done professionally and done right is just incredible.
All ages?
As we like to say, it could be for all ages, but parents have to know their children. They know their children better, and we will always allow teachers or parents. I mean, we've even have a policy that if a parent wants to stay downstairs with the kids while another adult goes upstairs and takes a quick look at the exhibition, so that they can make their judgment that they know better than any of us. I think another thing that we want to point out here is this continues to push COSAI forward first as a major learning resource, doing things that we uniquely can do to inspire, to have an impact. The fact that the strategic area of focus of health and medicine is being moved forward with this continues to establish, like with the labs, the lifelong learning labs that we have with OSU partnership, that COSAI is one of those places where you can go to not only be inspired, but to be learning more and more about those things that require you to make healthy and sustainable personal choices.
And being entertained along the way.
And it's always fun at COSAI, so you're absolutely right. You know, we've always got our core ability to excite and inspire. And sometimes, you know, the excitement leads, sometimes the inspiration leads. But it's the unique ability of COSI, with the broad variety of opportunities that we provide here for learning, that you can have any level of age, any learning style, if you will, have a spot here that they can make home for themselves.
Just thinking that awe-inspiring reverence was something that we also saw with the Titanic exhibit, where you could walk through 3, 4, 5 rooms and not have anyone say a word.
Absolutely. And we look to those kind of exhibitions that, again, you can relate to. So the power of Titanic was you took on a role, and so you were looking at it through your own eyes as that person. Here, we're looking literally through the eyes of individuals and looking and reflecting upon our own body. And that, I mean, there's just no more powerful way to do this than to relate it to you personally.
Body Worlds and the Brain will be at COSI through January 6th. For more information on the exhibit, go to COSI's website, cosi.org. It is one of the premier running events in the nation. The nationwide Children's Hospital Columbus Marathon and Half Marathon will be held Sunday morning. But there's a weekend full of events. With more on the start time and where the fun begins is race director Darris Blackford and Nikki Schaefer, Vice President of Annual Giving at Nationwide Children's Hospital.
Thank you very much, Council. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. We are so excited to be bringing 18,000 people downtown on Sunday, October 21st. It's a record crowd, not only for the overall event, but I'm so proud to announce for the first time we have surpassed our record number for the Columbus Marathon in our 33-year history. We will have a race expo on Friday and Saturday. Also on Saturday, we have the Red Nose Run, which is a partnership with the Columbus Recreation and Parks Department. We'll have 1,000 children at Franklin Park, which is really one of the highlights of the weekend. The race starts at 7:30 on Sunday morning with the marathon and half marathon at the State House. It is Columbus's longest parade, I'm proud to announce, and we're also very honored this year to be launching our new partnership with Nationwide Children's Hospital.
Thank you, members of council and members of the audience. I am delighted to represent Nationwide Children's Hospital today. It is your community's hospital, and it has been the generous recipient of the support of Central Ohio for over 120 years, and we are just thrilled to be the newly named title beneficiary of the Nationwide Children's Hospital Columbus Marathon and Half Marathon. And it was really done through the leadership of Nationwide Insurance, the members of the Columbus Marathon Board, and certainly the support of the city and all of our corporate and individual participants. So we are delighted to bring you messaging about the hospital on Sunday, and really thank you again for your support.
Thank you. The Columbus Marathon, I believe, is for USA Today said that it's the one of the top 10 fall marathons in the nation, so we should be very much proud of that.
That last voice was President Pro Tem Troy Miller. For more information on the marathon, you can go to their website, columbusmarathon.com. We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL. At Columbus.gov. Don't forget you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.